It's the Neverwinter Nights Podcast.
The Neverwinter Nights Podcast.
The only podcast for the Neverwinter Nights game series, bringing you news, interviews, reviews, and more for the community by the community. You can find us online at neverwinternightspodcast.com. And now, on to the show.
Hey, this is A. Rowan, a.k.a. DM Silver Adept of the Realms of Trinity and the Neverwinter Nights Podcast.
Hey, this is Brian, a.k.a. Sir Brian from the Realms of Trinity and the Neverwinter Nights Podcast. And you're listening to the 176th episode of the Neverwinter Nights Podcast, the podcast all about the Neverwinter Nights series of role-playing games and the now live Neverwinter MMO by Cryptic and Perfect World Entertainment. Oh, it's been a couple months, and actually it's only been about 4 weeks, but finally got some time together and for another podcast. Today we're going to talk about a lot of different stuff. We got a good bit of Neverwinter community news, including Neverwinter Go, a lot of stuff that we're going to talk about in our regular interview segment, which is going to be us today. We don't have any guests, but we do have a lot to go over with our upcoming appearance at the Gen Con 2013 Game Fair in downtown Indianapolis, Indiana. So today we're going to get started with some of the news that I've scruffled up, you know, over the past couple of weeks, posted and whatnot. So we're going to take a look at that. And to get started, we'll get right into the Neverwinter news.
So first off, in Neverwinter news, Neverwinter is now live. You can download, play for free, enjoy the game, check it out. Cryptic's done a lot of work since beta. It looks very good. A lot of fun to play around in. I personally haven't had a lot of time to play around with the Foundry yet, but from what I've read, it's very impressive as well. And in Neverwinter Nights 2 news, someone has actually recreated the game Baldur's Gate in Neverwinter Nights 2. Now, this is not the server Baldur's Gate, where they've created a few maps and they're on the coast. This is the actual game Baldur's Gate that someone has recreated in Neverwinter Nights 2. So it's definitely worth giving it a...
Yeah, there's actually the article link is posted in our show notes. It's something that I was tipped off to from a friend of mine who's not a part of the podcast or anything, but he was so blown away by what they were able to do. He's like, hey, you need to check this out. I know you're Neverwinter Nights 2 guy. You know, see what these guys did. I mean, these folks, they've actually went back over like the past 5-6 years to develop this from the ground up. They've been doing this, painstakingly detailed to the original actual game, Baldur's Gate. And as Ben said, this is not Baldur's Gate, the Sword Coast Chronicles, Persistent World. This is actually a copy of the original module, full text dialogues, logic, NPCs, everything, the towns. These guys really went way over and beyond anything that I've ever seen somebody do as far as a remake in another environment. And I do believe after reading some of the article about, it seems like the author actually did this for some kind of, the experience in game development to do it professionally. So it's really cool to see. And it's also inspiration for those who have done a lot of their own work for Persistent Worlds. Like, if you spend a lot of time building out Persistent World from the ground up, not just copy and paste and stuff, or you know, everything off the vault and just and cross your fingers type of thing. I mean, if you actually sat down and knew, you know, from the ground up, from the modeling, from the scripting, from writing, you know, you did it all original to your own system, this is a good inspiration for you that you may be able to take that in. If you've done it professionally and you've got some eyes on it, you can use that as an example to people. Hey, this is what I can do. This is what I can bring to the table. Just teach me your game environment, and I'll get a job. Because there are a lot of jobs in the West Coast for game developers. And, you know, this is definitely something, if you are interested, obviously coupled with a college degree from somewhere like maybe the Art Institutes, you know, or somebody or like that, you'd be able to go out and, you know, get a degree in that field, game design, and you could use these types of tools that are freely available to, you know, make your own. And use that as a resume builder.
Exactly. There's a new module out, which is the Untold Tales of Tolkien, the Indothrine Prince. This is a demo version for Neverwinter Nights. It's in its early stages, and what you see will be quite far from the finished article, but they feel that they have created enough to give everyone a good taste of what they're going for. They've so far created 2 to 3 hours of content, depending on how you want to play and how much of the area you wish to explore, and you don't need any additional files, just their MERP custom rules, which will be included in the actual release. That leads us to Brian for models.
Yep, we got some new NWN2 models. It's semi-new. This has been out for a couple, probably about 3 weeks or so. It's musket and rifles, and it's a free-to-use MDBs and GMAX files for Brown Best musket and Baker rifle. Modeled in Maya, around 250-plus each with simple textures based on the crossbow. Not really familiar with naming conventions on crossbows and such, so feel free to change them. Includes a replacer for Sushi Squid's gun pack for those who just want these guns in their game. Includes Tweak Dialogue TLK, and to get rid of missing text with SOZ, requires Sushi Squid's gun pack guns only version. Also, future stuff that's coming is bayonets mounted in standalone in carbides for the little folk. And in Neverwinter Nights 1, we have a new module. It's called Demon Heart Chapter 1 Beta. The Southern Alliance plans to use the Immortal Girl as an ultimate assassin. Ordered to hide her identity, even from her townspeople, forbidden to contact anyone she used to know, the girl is sent to a military outpost soon to go into battle. While some of the soldiers fear for her well-being, treating her as a fragile child, others openly mock her skill in combat. But the girl is not as alone as everyone believes, perhaps not even alone as she would even wish to be. So it sounds like a pretty interesting, intriguing campaign series that's coming up. This is just a chapter one. There's many more to come from this author. Looks very good and professional from what I looked at it so far. And the author's Lamb, and aka Love Lamb. So there's a lot of good information posted. We'll have the link to this module in the show notes as well, so that you can check it out and download it. And swinging back a little bit before we move on to talking about our Gen Con appearance, we have, you know, with the Neverwinter go live release, players can go and download, as Ben said, you know, get the full game and download. It's fully free to play, and there's a lot of content. And they're actually already working on development for the first expansion called Fury of the Feywild. It consists of an entirely new zone as well as a list of many new features, some of which are highlighted on the expansion site. And we'll have the links to that information in the show notes. So without further ado, we're going to get into our coverage for the Gen Con 2013 Game Fair. Well, today we're going to talk about the Gen Con 2013 Game Fair. You know, we got a lot of questions about what we're going to be doing and, you know, everything. So let's start at the very beginning about that. First of all, taking hostages. All the above. And this may be recorded. But
now, the NSA is recording it all anyway, so what are you going to do?
Exactly. Anyhow, you're talking about, start at the very beginning. We're going to be, Ben and myself, we're going to be out at downtown Indianapolis, Indiana, August, I believe, 15th to the 18th. And we're going to be down there sniffing around the Gen Con Game Fair. We got a lot of, we actually are in as official press coverage. Thanks, Stacia Kirby, for, you know, getting that set up for us again. We were there last year. My gaffer and myself, which is Dan Mahoney, and we got some good interviews. I know they weren't directly related to Neverwinter Nights or Neverwinter, but it's just the way it worked out that we were able to get in with Wizards of the Coast for Hordes the Underdark, not Hordes of the Underdark, but pen and paper game coverage, and also we got in with Dungeons and Dragons Online. We were able to interview them. So if you hadn't seen that, you know, hit the website and check out the coverage from last year. It was really good. We had two good video interviews, good about 35 minutes of coverage. So it was really good. And a good experience for us to get in with the staff out at Gen Con so that we can get a good appearance again this year, but even more coverage. So the first thing is, you know, we have some things lining up already, and we'll start with Ben, when his first topic of interest that he's going to be covering while he's at the Gen Con Game Fair with myself.
Yeah, one of the things we're going to do is see some of the various sites, wander around, obviously. One of the things we've already signed up for is, as some people know, big fan of Pat Rothfuss. So we're going to, you know, try and catch in on his story reading and some of his other Q&A session type things. We've also been invited to look into a couple other things. The big one, obviously, is Cryptic's Neverwinter. I'll let Brian talk about the Mayfair games discussion we're having.
Yep. Well, talking about, you know, before we move on to that, talk about Pat Rothfuss. You know, can you go over with who Pat Rothfuss is for those who do not know the Neverwinter Nights community? And,
right.
And also, you know, we'll get into it further from there. But, yeah, just go give a little background on who Pat Rothfuss is.
Okay, fair enough. So, sorry. Hey, someone wandering around behind me with a camera. I'm getting nervous. Yeah, there you go. One sec. Do realize we're being recorded, right? Just pointed out being recorded. Okay. So essentially, for those of you who listen to our podcast from underneath your rock, Patrick Rothfuss is a New York Times bestselling author. He wrote The Wise Man's Fear, Name of the Wind, are his two books that are currently out. His next one we're all eagerly awaiting. He also does a lot of very impressive things on his own. He gets into a lot of the stuff the way Will Wheaton does, that, you know, he'll go to these conventions, talk with people, you know, just sort of have a good time. He also is part leading his own charity, which is called World Builders. And that is literally a charity which allows for different communities to have a sustainable agriculture system. So when you donate money, you're buying fruit trees or you're buying chickens or goats for those who need them. And the idea is that this helps create a sustainable economy where they do this, as opposed to your more traditional charities where you give once and that buys somebody a shirt or a blanket or something and that's it. So the intent for a lot of, you know, that charity is to make it so people can actually do things on their own. Pat does have a blog, which I'm sure we can link up on our site. And that in itself is something that's highly amusing to read and go through. You can see some of the stuff he's up to, some of the things he's done. He's got the full archive, so if you're like me and you have to read all the way from the beginning, you can do that. I'll warn you ahead, it's from like 2007, though, so you'll be busy. So in a nutshell, that's Pat Rothfuss and why we want to see him.
Yeah, I mean, we briefly met him last year at the Origins Game Fair. Ben was able to get an autograph and a picture and whatnot, and he's definitely a cool dude, definitely open to discussions. And another good thing, you know, to point out is people may ask, okay, why do we get involved with content authors, like writers and things like that? Well, the reason is, and last year, you know, we kind of stumbled into this when we were at Origins, was the fact that when we talked to Maxwell Alexander Drake, which was an upcoming author, he had a whole trilogy of books out already, and he's gained a lot of coverage in the fantasy RP world just for some of his content, his works that he's done. And one of the things that we had discussed when we were there last year with him, and you can see this is also posted on the coverage for that episode, we were able to discuss with him about even possibly getting his content produced into a Neverwinter Nights 1 or 2 module. And you know, because writers are at the key core of module builders and or persistent world runners who actually have a story that's behind their persistent world, not just a bunch of areas of mobs in them. If you're actually giving the players a storyline, you know, that stuff is, that ability or that thought process is quintessential to giving people what they want. I mean, as far as the story is concerned, you know, a good, compelling story that makes you want to play.
Right.
Yeah.
And just to build on that, too, something else is, let's face it, be it D&D, be it Neverwinter, be it Neverwinter Nights, be it any game, if it is not an immersive world, you're not going to care. And with the caveats of people like Tolkien, Patrick Rothfuss, George R. R. Martin, for those of us who are enjoying the very long pauses between books. For people like that, they make the immersive background, they make the immersive story, so you want to know more. And I think that's something that's absolutely critical in any game, regardless, I would argue, even first-person shooters. If there's not a good storyline, you might play it, you might run around, but over time you'll quickly lose interest. And it's these storylines that keep people interested.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, that's one of the things I think that Ben and myself have been talking about, and this is all stuff that's coming from our game appearances. I mean, or our game fair appearances. I know that we were somewhat discouraged over the last couple of years that we've been going to them, with the year before last, 2011, when we went to Origins the first time. But with the response from the crowd, as far as directly to us and not knowing anything about Neverwinter Nights. But one of the things that's interesting about that, it's not a failure of the game itself and the platform. It's been more of a failure of Obsidian and BioWare, and the fact that they never really captured the pen and paper crowd, or viciously went after them through, vicious is probably not the right word, but going after them vociferously, like as World of Warcraft did for the MMO type gamers and stuff, and blanketed everything with coverage. If they were to have spent more time really pushing the capabilities of the Neverwinter Nights 1 and 2 engine, then they would have maybe hundredfold increased the response to Neverwinter Nights 1 and 2 over the long haul. Yes, there were problems with production, you know, with game bugs and things. It took a while to get fixed. But, you know, once you roll out the last patch of Neverwinter Nights 1, 169, or even 1723 for Neverwinter Nights 2, a lot of stuff was fixed. Yeah, there's some engine bugs and stupid stuff, but, you know, that comes down to the administrators understanding what they have to do to kind of limit those bugs from really compromising gameplay and whatnot. But at the end of the day, that information or that platform can really go out and help people to you know, get stuff taken care of, where they can get into a game and build content for it. So it's interesting, you know, at the end of the day, how much more. Anyhow, like I was saying, you know, at the end of the day, you can go out and build all these environments that they would know, you know, they would actually be able to jump into. But see, that's something that Ben and myself have been able to see a possible way to reinvigorate the community. But we have to go out there and get involved and intertwine with these people. And that's why we're doing this work. And it can't just stop. I mean, now that we've opened dialogue with all these different game companies and all these different people, you know, there's a lot going on there. So what do you think, Ben?
No, I agree. I mean, it's just one of those things. The other thing, too, is, let's face it, now the Forge tool has come out in Neverwinter, and you can create your own content, that's another reason to reach out and look at things, because, you know, they've already stated that if you want to play nothing but player-created content, to go through all your levels and do all your game time, they're completely for that. So yep, that's another reason to look at these things, because who knows, maybe in time somebody will build, you know, one of the realms of, you know, George R. R. Martin or Patrick Rothfuss or one of these other people. And that's the other thing that's really exciting about the way this system works, is the fact that if you literally want to go, gee, I love this author, or gee, I love this world, or gee, I like this idea, you could actually build it.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think that really what is something that's coming together, and I received an email of interest from Payne, which is a big-time Neverwinter Nights 2 guy. You know, he was responsible for a lot of the content and patching of Storm is a here, and he's been all over the BioWare threads, and he sent me an email about a week ago and talking to me about a lot of the stuff that his initiatives to really build up the environment even further to make it easier for people to get in-game and to start developing Neverwinter Nights 2 content. And, you know, one of the things about that, even coming up with a replacement for the IGN Vault in a way, there's a lot of information that, you know, that's getting out there, and there's people that are still really dedicated to trying to figure out ways to not just maintain the environment, but to actually blow it up. I mean, like, get all the possible people that we can get in and to get in, there's a lot of D&D players out there. And a lot of the people end up finding out down the road is that they don't have time to get everybody together. Everybody's schedules are tough. You have kept kids or, you know, whatever else, and you got your job duties and real life stuff. It's hard to get time where you can actually get in a car and meet up with an RP group or something like that. But they'll find it a lot easier to just, okay, well, at my house at such and such hour, such and such day, that I can get in the game and actually, you know, if I have a good environment to work in, you know, we can have these kind of sessions online instead of actually doing it there. And I don't think you're going to get that from, you know, World of Warcraft and other things like that. So at the end of the day, there's a lot of stuff that we can get, you know, we can gather from that. And that's something we're going to be working with. I'm trying to get Payne on the show soon, you know, especially with all the information he handed off to me about his work and what he's up to and, you know, what he's got planned for the community. And I think that it would be very behooving of the Neverwinter Nights to community leaders that if you run a server or if you're in a community, very similar to what the Amethyst Dragon has been doing for Neverwinter Nights 1, you know, and other folks just like him, you know, going through a lot of stuff with the community to keep the fire stoked for it. So end of the day, I think a lot of it's going to come back to we continue to go forward and we continue to keep putting content out and trying to promote the content. So if we all start working together a little bit more, I think we're going to get it a long way, especially just look at the benefit of Neverwinter Nights or NWNList.com site that's actually tapping into Skywing's magnificent work, you know, to replace the server lobby.
Definitely.
So, yeah. Well, you know, the next topic is something else that Ben just flipped to me. He got the email from Mayfair Games for Gen Con 2013, and they have some interview slots opened up, and we just put in for it as soon as we could. They're going to be debuting the first expansion for the Star Trek Caton at the show. They're going to have a Warp Speed charity event where fans compete for the chance to play a game with Will Wheaton, and, of course, they're going to have usual game demos and mammoth floor versions of the game too big to fit on a tabletop. They're setting their schedule now, and the earlier we get back to the better is for both of us. So that's from them at Mayfair Games. Ben already just responded back with our availability, and we're going to set something up and hopefully even get a maybe interview with Will Wheaton. So for those who don't know who Will Wheaton is, he played on Star Trek The Next Generation, and he was on for, I believe, the first four seasons as Beverly Crusher's son, and very popular character on the show, and even appeared in one of the movies, one of the theatrical releases. I believe it was Star Trek Nemesis. So, and he's also in The Big Bang Theory quite a bit. Plays himself in there pretty much a lot. So he's an extremely talented actor, and he's done a lot of good stuff for the fantasy role-playing scene, especially with gaming and all the different stuff. So, you know, if we can get him on the show, that would be great coverage. And plus, hopefully, maybe he could even pick up the torch a little bit with Neverwinter Nights 1 or 2. So I'm sure he's played it at some point. This guy's a heavy, big-time gamer. So I'm sure he's checked out Neverwinter Nights 1 and 2.
Definitely.
Yep. And we have the Neverwinter coverage. This is something that Ben was talking about in our news segment. The official thing that we're going to be attending is the Cryptic Studios Neverwinter MMO, The Good, The Bad, and The Ugly, and in-depth look at the hit D&D MMO Neverwinter. Cryptic Studios CEO Jack Emmert, which is also good friends with Shane Hensley, who we've interviewed several times, and he's a friend of the big-time friend of the show, lifts the curtain to reveal the secrets behind the game. Attendees receive a special item in the MMO. There's a seminar that we're going to be attending, and they're going to go over a lot of the rules and a lot of different stuff about the game and, you know, coverage about the release. And they did release, once again, if you missed it in the show notes that we had at the beginning for a news segment, Neverwinter is live. So, you know, I encourage everybody that, you know, is hearing this to go check out the website, playneverwinter.com, and take a look at all the great stuff that they've done over the last several years. This project's been going on for a good 2.5-3 years now, and they really knocked it out of the park and with the look and the feel. So, yeah, it's one of those things. Anything else you got on that, Ben? What do you think?
Just something, obviously, after, you know, as anybody knows, Gen Con's quite a ways out there yet, so we'll probably have some things between then and now, especially as we get our schedule a bit more concrete. But just like last time, you know, with the convention, we'll have a bit more media than we usually do, so we'll have some photos, some other sort of things. I'm sure we'll have some video, be it various lengths or interviews, we'll have to see.
Yep, definitely. And, you know, for those who are listening to us and if you want to come out and meet the Neverwinter Nights podcast, definitely head on out. You know, Ben and myself will be there, and we're going to have got a lot of good things coming up. And we're going to really get out there, try and knock it out of the park for everybody in the Neverwinter Nights community and try to gather as much steam as we can. We're going to be more engaged and more direct this time than we were in the last events that we were at, since that we're not going to have a full setup. You know, we're going to get as many interviews as we can while we're there. You know, I'd like to at least get 4 or 5 interviews scheduled. You know, we already got 2 lined up now, which is one with Neverwinter, Jack Emmert, talking to their PR folks there and, you know, getting that wrapped up. And after that, we have some other things with Mayfair Games and constantly getting emails from these people, at the PR people at Gen Con. Because they, once we're signed up as press staff, that we get all the emails for all press events. And that's how we got our interviews last year with Dungeons & Dragons Online and Wizards of the Coast talking about their D&D products. They were upcoming. So it's something that we're going to continue to do over the next few weeks. Also, you know, before we close out this episode, if you're listening to this and you want to come on the show, you're Neverwinter Nights 1 or 2 persistent world runner, module developer, or community leader, community organizer, feel free to contact me at bbloom@realmsoftrinity.com or bsb5652@gmail.com, and let me know if you'd like to come on the show. You know, we'd love to have you. We're totally open to guests. We do not have any bones to pick with anybody. We're actually very happy to have you on the show and get your voice out there. I know there's been a lot of new PWs coming out and different stuff like that, and it's interesting because I send emails out, but I don't get anything back. You know, it's like I would think that if you do have a product that you spent so much time on that you'd like to come on a show and, you know, get it out there. I mean, if you just listen to our previous episodes with PW runners, most recent would be Tales of Am. You know, we're really good friends with them, and we're in the same arena. You know, we have a persistent world offsets each other's, but we do not look at each other at anywhere near adversarial, and we're actually good friends. I'm friends with Myrmidon, and I'm friends with Yasin, and, you know, the rest of the staff that we talk to. We share just stuff together. You know, we talk, and plus, you know, we're in with other persistent worlds as well, you know. So definitely, if you want to come on the show, there's no cheese ballery here. You know, we want to get your persistent world out there. We want to see you succeed every which way possible. And even if ours doesn't, you know, could get any benefit from it, who cares? You know, the idea is that the community benefits, and that's how we do things. I mean, I know we run a persistent world. You know, I'm not sure if there's a perception that, you know, we're just trying to plug our own stuff all the time, but the fact of the matter is that we don't, and that we're actually just trying to get everybody's content out there and looked at, regardless of where you're at and what you do. So definitely just take a look at our previous episodes. You know, come on the show. You know, we'd love to have you. And, you know, we'll do everything we possibly can to get your product out there so that people can check it out and, you know, join up. Especially if you have a new persistent world, best thing to do is come on the show, man. You know, we'll be more than happy to have you and give you a good interview.
Definitely.
Yep. Well, with that, I'll give Ben the closing line.
Get in game and level up.
You can always reach us via our website at neverwinternightspodcast.com or by email at show@neverwinternightspodcast.com. The opinions and viewpoints expressed on the Neverwinter Nights podcast are not necessarily those of its sponsors or those of Obsidian, BioWare, Atari, their partners, or employees.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast is a production of the Realms of Trinity, who are solely responsible for its contents.
The Neverwinter Nights podcast is copyright 2012.